Ramsey TV.
I do think it was kind of funny that when I held the contest with my sunglasses, there was a write-in candidate. I forgot to tell you that. Yeah, somebody wrote in my distance glasses. There was one vote for these. They didn't win. But that was funny, and I thank you for that. No, actually, those are my computer glasses. Nobody voted for them. These are my distance glasses. These were voted for, and they lost. Nice to be with you again. I'm always thankful when I can talk to you. This is Martin Sender, and I'm glad you're thankful, too. I love your comments. Thank you for taking the time to comment on the videos. Even those of you who disagree with me, you're always welcome to. It's an open forum. I rarely kick people off. The only reason I do is if people use their platform. They use my platform for their platform. In other words, they're not here to take in the content and give their yay or their nay. They're just using all the hard work I did to build something, and they're hijacking it and trying to get their message across. Sorry, but you'll have to get your own YouTube channel if you want to do that. But as far as fielding disagreements, yes, I do that. I invite you. You can disagree with me. It's normal. It's part of the normal intercourse of life. Speaking of the internet, our friend Drew Costin in Toronto, he has started a Reddit page. I don't even know what Reddit is, but I will put a link below here. I guess it's a place you can go if you want to talk about stuff concerning God and the scriptures. And if you go to the link below, it's really well done. If you go to that link, there's a list of rules about, you know, how to behave yourself on the page. And so I think it's going to be a good forum. Drew is a really smart guy. He's editing now the next two books that are very close to coming out, The Lie of Every Man's Battle and Shaga. Those are just two. There are 10 other books coming out after that. And since I have a typesetter now, thank you, Catherine Quintero. Now it's going to go. We're going to go. Here it comes. The books are going to come. I want to talk about, I don't want to, but yes, I do. I mean, it's not a happy topic. It's about Satan's operation. Why is he called the prince of the power of the air? And why does scripture even mention air? And what's the difference between air and heaven? And why is wind not only a kind, a type of spirit, that is, it moves where it will? Why is wind also used to describe ill things and deceptions? Gonna get into all of this on this show, if you can believe it. The title of this show is going to be, I think, Children of the Prevailing Winds. You know, you usually can't tell these people. You really don't know if an individual is one of those people like who are dandelion seeds in the wind. They're just here on earth to get along, to go with the flow. They really don't have too many contrary thoughts or ideas. They like the prevailing winds, like the dandelion seed. They just go, if the wind blows this way, the dandelion seed goes that way. If the wind turns around and goes that way, the dandelion seed isn't interested in resisting. It goes that way too. Same with the stick in the river. The river's going that way, the stick's going that way. A stick in the river, it doesn't care. Just take me wherever you want me to go. Paul calls this being blown about by every wind of teaching. Ephesians 4:4. This is not a good thing. It's, you know, the kind of people, they'll hear someone talk about the salvation of all, and they'll say, if there's enough people talking about it, and if there's a mood to it and some kind of enthusiasm, oh, that sounds good, then somebody else will get up a group, and they'll be talking about, no, annihilation is the answer. Oh, well, that sounds good. As long as it's a prevailing current, a prevailing wind, they'll go with it. And then if you have someone talking about eternal torments, and they give what appear to be good scriptural evidence, there is none, but I said what appear to be scriptural evidence, they'll go with that. Well, that sounds good too. This is being blown about by every wind of teaching. The opposite is being established in the truth, digging down roots in truth. There were some great comments on my video today about truth, that there's no such thing as your truth or my truth. There is only the truth. And we are either inspired or not inspired by God to seek out the truth. But it's strange today to me with the people wearing these masks that, to me, the mask wearer, the person wearing a mask while exercising alone, riding in the car alone, it's like a cursor over their head that says, I'm a child of the prevailing winds. It's like I almost want to go up to those people and say, you know, good luck during the tribulation. Because this is a person who just wants to go with the flow. And it's always sad. That's why I'm sad to see it, really. Because I don't want people to go through the tribulation. But I know it's hard to go against a prevailing wind. It's very difficult. It's not necessarily always a happy life. It's like lifting weights when you're working out. You're going against the prevailing force of gravity. Not only are you going against the prevailing force of gravity, but you're adding to the gravity. So I got a great idea. Let's add 30 pounds to gravity and struggle against that. It's almost crazy. It's almost crazy. Isn't life resistant enough? Apparently not. But that brings strength, of course. So strength is going against the grain, against the current, against the wind. Bob Seger had a great song about that, Against the Wind. It makes for a rich life because it's evidence that you can think for yourself. All the scripture guys, the scripture writers, the prophets, the apostles, of course they went against the prevailing wind because the prevailing wind is almost always wrong. The majority are always almost wrong. I've said before, many of you maybe haven't heard this, that Christians in the West are that because it's the prevailing religion. It's not that they're in love with Christ. They're not. They're posers. They're not in love with Christ. Well, they might be in love with the icon, you know, the fake Jesus, but they're Christians because they were born in an area of the world where Christianity was the prevailing religion. It has nothing to do with Christ for them. Because if these people were born in India, they'd be Hindus. I mean, this. And if they were born in Saudi Arabia, they'd be Muslim. So, again, it's not this established, deep longing to know the true God and to seek out the true God. No, it's just like when you're born, you ask, "Oh, what's the popular religion in these parts?" Oh, that would be Hinduism. Okay, sign me up for that. Or, oh, the prevailing wind in these parts, Buddhism. Okay, sign me up for that. See, nothing to do with Christ. Nothing to do with Christ. In Daniel 7, when Daniel saw four winds coming up from the sea, four winds, and the winds were four spirits. So the wind, the movements of the air, going to get to air, it can be good and bad. It speaks of spiritualness, not necessarily good spirits, because there were four evil spirits coming up. And coincidentally enough, based on what I was just saying, these winds are for religions that Daniel saw as animals. A lioness, a she-bear, a leopardess, and an indistinct monster. They represent four major religions in the world: Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity. So these are contrary spirits. But again, there's the prevailing winds. You see a theme here? Blown about by every wind of teaching, Daniel sees four winds coming out of the sea, which are four religions that blow through different parts of the world, and that people just, they rise into it, and then they go with it, like dandelion seeds. I can't emphasize enough, it's nothing to do with Christ. It's just the popular religion. And I did seem to indicate, didn't I? I did seem to let you know it's my opinion that if you go with the flow in one area, then the tendency is you're going to go with the flow in every area. Speaking of those wearing the masks, trying to be good citizens because everybody expects them to wear it. The government expects them to wear it. The health people expect them to wear it. They're not willing to look into the science. They just, this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'll do it. So I would think the tendency would be to be that way in every category of life, whether it's religion, diet, what you eat what everybody else eats. You go where everybody else goes. You watch what everybody else watches. You go to the church everybody else goes to. You adhere to the religion that is predominant in your area. And, of course, you do whatever the government tells you to do. You're a good boy and a good girl. But if you're a contrarian, now, there are those who are contrarians just to be contrary. Not talking about that. I'm talking about those who say, wait a minute, hold on. And this is only can be a gift of God. They say, wait a minute, hold on. Wait. Wait, I'm going to stand still right here. I don't necessarily think that wind and all the sticks going down the current and all the dandelion seeds blowing in the wind, I'm not sure that that's correct. Let me look at things. Oh, boy. As soon as you start looking at things, you get to that famous part of the world that I like to call one level beneath the surface. You find the truth, and boom, you're an oddball. You're a weirdo. You're going against the grain. You're going against the current. You're going against the wind. Life's going to be hard for you in the short term, but in the long term, of course, if you have found the truth, and only God can cause you to find the truth, then in the long term, you will be much better off. Obviously, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Wind, there's no wind in outer space. Wind exists because different pockets of air are moving. You have high pressure systems and low pressure systems that consist of air. So the air is the thing that the wind blows around. Or is wind the thing that the air blows around? Huh, I'm not sure about that, but air and wind go together, and it is this realm we live in. It's a thing that surrounds us. It's a scary verse that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That is, everything that surrounds us in this eon, in this system, that is in this world, is satanic. It's a scary verse. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. It's Ephesians, all right. It's Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. I'll get there. What is it combated by? Why shouldn't you be afraid? Because, as I've told you, we have the Spirit of God within us. And so we are sustained by the warmth of the Spirit. And so that will stand against the storm. It'll stand against a 300-mile-per-hour hurricane wind of satanic influence. It will. You can stand against the torrent, the popular culture, popular torrent, popular flow, the popular one. You can stand against it and be insulated from it by the Spirit of God that makes its home in you. But my God, I told you many times, we're surrounded by this evil. We're surrounded by those who go with the flow, and you feel like the odd one, and you are in so many categories. You're the odd one. I am too. So how are we still alive? How are we standing? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in the world is surrounding you. You're breathing the shit where Satan lives. You're breathing it. That's scary too. You're breathing air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I take it in my body every second, 12 times a minute. I take it in my body. I take in the stuff that Satan is the prince of the power of. That's terrifying. It would be terrifying. It's not to me, because that's what I give it. I'm sorry, hang on. I forgot to turn my phone off. It would be terrifying if the Spirit of God didn't make its home in me. So there you go. That's the established, that's the truth. And greater is he. Remember, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you, being dead to your offenses and sins in which once you walked. Oh, boy. I need my glasses. The ones that lost the glasses contest. Here we go. This will be much better. Oh, I can see things now. And you, being dead to the offenses and sins in which once you walked in accord with the eon of this world. Oh, there's a great phrase, the eon of this world. No time to discuss that right now. In accord with the chief of the jurisdiction of the air. The chief of the jurisdiction of the air. That is Satan. I like to mispronounce his name. Satan. It's kind of a little jab. The spirit now operating in the sons of stubbornness. The spirit. See, there are good spirits and bad spirits. The spirit now operating in the sons of stubbornness. I would call these the children of the prevailing winds. They are the sons of stubbornness. Isn't that odd? You would think that if you were stubborn, you would go against the prevailing winds. But a stubborn one in this context is actually blown about by the prince of the power of the air, and they go with the prevailing winds. They look at you and say, why are you so stubborn? You have every right because of this verse to look at them and say, why are you so stubborn? You're stubborn as to the truth. Oh, you're not stubborn as to the prevailing wind, as to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the stuff we breathe every day. You just love it. This is why I talk about people who love the eon, love the world. They take in that realm of Satan and they have nothing in it. They don't want anything inside of them to combat it because Satan soothes them. Because, again, Satan is not dressed as this evil person, doesn't come across as a dark entity. Satan comes across as a messenger of light, makes you feel good, makes you feel accepted and loved, and that's the road to destruction. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Wide. Because it's the prevailing wind. And the children of the prevailing wind are going into aeonian death. Him, I told you in the short term it works. Because you're popular, people don't look at you bad. Some lady at the Whole Foods store yesterday, she told me, she walked past me, and I noticed this lady when I walked in. I noticed her giving me the evil eye. I walked in there with my mask under my nose like I always, always do. Nobody bothers me in the store. But this lady, who wasn't an employee, just a random shopper, was on a private crusade to save the world from the Black Plague. And, of course, I was the main source of the Black Plague in Whole Foods last night. And she passed me and she said, while moving, she wasn't ready, she wasn't willing to confront me. She wasn't willing to stop me and say, sir, do you realize what you're doing by having your mask under? No, she's like scared. But she had to say something because I was ruining her day, which I'm glad of. The only comfort I have in this kind of confrontation is I ruined this person's day because I just caused them all kinds of stress and discomfort. She walked past me and said, put that mask over your nose. And I said, in a voice which I'm going to imitate now at the exact volume, I said, nope. A few shoppers looked at me because they heard me say no, but the woman who gave me the devil, she said it very softly. Put that mask on. Nope. you know what I wanted to do? I didn't do this, but I should have done it. You always think of these things later. Oh, she was wearing goggles, too. Yeah, she was wearing, like, goggles you wear when you sand a banister or something, or you're cutting down a tree with a chainsaw. Yeah, we're big safety glasses. I was going to go up there and say, hey, I'll put my mask over my nose if you take off those ridiculous glasses. And then I would ask her, how many masks are you wearing? And if she was a good citizen of the world, of the prevailing winds, she would have said, two. Of course I'm wearing two. And I would have said, but haven't you seen the recent studies that four masks are double the protection of two? How can you sleep at night knowing that you could have done more? You could have gone the extra mile and worn four. And then you and I both would have been covered, lady. Yeah, because you wear four, I don't wear any. That's an average of two each. And so we're saving the world, you and me, together, in combination. But no, two masks, which is just one between us, which is not enough, according to the CDC and the F word, Dr. Fauci. That conversation didn't happen. I wish it had. So the air is what we breathe. That's how close Satan is. I tell you that so that you can be thankful for, respect, and admire, and just like, thank you, God, for the spirit that is in you that takes the incoming air. This is all analogous, I guess. It takes the incoming air and alchemizes it, translates it into simply something that your blood carries around to the rest of your body. And it takes the evil and spits it out. It's like a sunflower seed. With a shell, you, like the baseball players do, they spit out the husk, and they eat the seed. That's what happens when you have the Spirit of God in you, and the air comes in. The Spirit of God spits out the satanic influence, even as you spit out the prevailing winds of religion, of medicine, politics, and everything else that the world wants you to love, fall in love with. And then you're good to go. I just want you to appreciate that deeply. I feel that this is a high note. And I want to end there. I was going to talk to you about the term air in the Greek, A-E-R. And then I was going to talk to you about the word in Greek for heaven, translated heaven, which is ouranos, which is see up. And then I was going to tell you about the term epi-ouranos. Epi, just on heavens, on see up, on top of the regular see up. It's like CC up up. I was going to do that, but now I am not going to do it. Maybe tomorrow. But I realized that the best thing I could tell you is what I just told you, and I will repeat it. Because it bears repeating. Be so thankful. Like, get on your knees and just say, thank you, God, that the Spirit of God is in you. And it takes the evil that is all around you, the surrounding you, the air that moves constantly. Other people move with it, but you don't, because you're anchored in the truth. You're solid. You got foundation. Your foundation is Christ. You're anchored on the rock, the cornerstone. It's a beautiful thing. It's so sure that the winds, the prevailing winds, cannot move you. They can blow, they can blow, they can blow, but like the little pig's house who built his house of bricks, the big bad wolf can blow and blow and blow to no avail. Your house stands. Your truth stands. Not your truth, the truth that is in you stands. It can only stand because it's truth. And we can thank God that we are standing in it. And God has given it to us, and He will not let it blow away.